I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. While you turn there, I want to remind you that we'll be doing Christmas baskets after our evening service tonight. So if you can come and be here for the service and then help us out with the baskets afterwards for a few minutes, we would appreciate that very much. If you have a church bulletin, you can look on the back and notice the items needed for these baskets are snacks, which includes Little Debbie's, chips, crackers, and so forth, chapstick, paper, pens, tissue, and any gift a person wants to make, card, ornament, etc. We'll need people to stay after church tonight to help us put these baskets together. So please try to come and be here for the service and then also help us out with the baskets. We would appreciate that. Also, I have been informed that we need to have a business meeting tonight. So if you'd like to be here for that, you can come. Any other announcements that I might have forgotten? One thing I did need to mention, Brother Tony, as has been said, will begin his treatments this week, and the doctors have told him to be very careful about not getting sick. And he wanted me to mention the church that if he's able to be here and comes, if you see him sitting in the back or not walking around shaking hands and hugging necks like he normally does, he's not trying to be rude, he's just trying to be careful. So understand that. Miss Debbie's going through the very same thing right now, and we need to try to respect that as much as we can and help out as much as we can. Yeah, you can do that, I guess. Long as I don't see that, it'll be all right. That kind of turns my stomach, you know. I see men blowing men kisses. I don't like it. Yeah, that's even worse. No. Yes, sir. Amen. Glad Miss Edna is with us today. Appreciate her coming. Yes, Miss Barbara, that's right. Amen. Well, before I read the scripture, I want to tell you a little story I heard this past week. I heard about this little fella who was talking to his grandfather. He said, Papa, you ought to have been with me and Daddy last night. He said, we were coming home from the ball game, and a cop pulled us over. Said he come up behind us with his lights flashing and made Daddy get out of the car, made him walk down the white line, made him close his eyes and try to touch his nose, made him stand on one foot, just did all sorts of things. His grandfather said, well, how did he do? He said, well, I thought he did pretty good considering he was drunk as he was. Amen. All right, let's read our scripture. We're actually going to read this entire psalm, but I'm really going to be focusing on a particular portion of the psalm. But I want us to read all of it. It's only 14 verses, so let's begin in verse number 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit under the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, and we thank you for another opportunity to be in church. I thank you, Lord, that we have this place and we have this time, and I thank you for those that come, for those who are so faithful. And Lord, I do know there's others who would love to be here, but they're not able, and we pray for them today. We pray for all those that have been mentioned, those that are sick, those hurting, those going to doctors, those having treatments, people in the hospital, so many people. Lord, we just lift them up before you, and we're thankful that you're able to meet every need, no matter what it is. And we pray, Lord, that you would take care of each one. And I pray, Lord, that as I try to preach this morning, that you would fill my mind and my mouth, my heart with what you want said. Please give me liberty and clarity of thought and speech that I might say exactly what you want said, nothing more and nothing less. And Lord, I pray that you deal with our hearts. I pray if there's someone here this morning that's lost, that through the preaching of the Word of God, you would open their eyes, you'd help them to see that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I pray that this day would be their day of salvation. I pray for those of us that are already saved, that you'd speak to our hearts, you'd change our lives. And Lord, when we leave here, I hope all of us can say that we're leaving in a better condition than when we came. And we'll thank you for all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to talk to you about something that is more valuable than much fine gold and sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. If you paid attention to the passage that we just read, I'm sure you already know what I'm referring to. But I want to get started this morning by saying that Psalm 19, according to the heading, is a Psalm of David. It was authored by the man after God's own heart. And this Psalm, Psalm 19, breaks down into three main sections. The first section is verses 1 to 6, and there we learn from David that the heavens declare the glory of God. If you want proof of the existence of God, according to David, all you have to do is look above your head. Because the heavens declare the glory of God. It says in verse 1, and it says, the firmament showeth his handiwork. But then the second section is in verses 7 through 11, and there we see that David gives us a description of the word of the Lord. A description of the word of the Lord. Then the third section is verses 12 through 14, where we see a desire to be clean and upright in the sight of the Lord. So that's how this psalm breaks down. And in today's message, I want us to spend the remainder of our time focusing on the second of these three sections. I want us to talk this morning for a few minutes about David's description of the word of the Lord. And in David's description, there is first an outline, and then second, a conclusion. And in David's outline, when describing the word of the Lord, there are six times when he tells us what the word of the Lord is, and five times when he tells us what it does. And I want us to look at that together this morning. So look once again with me at verse number 7, and let's get started in David's outline. Just going to use his outline this morning. First of all, he says there in verse 7, the law of the Lord. And as we go through verses 7, 8, and 9, you're going to see that David refers to the word of the Lord in different ways. First of all, he calls it the law of the Lord, verse 7. Then he calls it the testimony of the Lord, verse 7. The statutes of the Lord, verse 8. The commandment of the Lord, verse 8. The fear of the Lord, verse 9. And the judgments of the Lord, verse number 9. So he refers to the word of the Lord in different ways. All of these are descriptions of the word of the Lord. And the first thing that David says there in verse number 7 is that the law of the Lord is perfect. That's what it is. And then he says, converting the soul. That's what it does. So first of all, we see from what David says that the law of the Lord, what God has to say, is perfect. And when he says it's perfect, what he means, number one, is that it is complete. Oftentimes when the Bible uses the word perfect, it's talking about something being complete, something being whole, something has reached a point where it is finished. And that's one thing that he means when he says that the law of the Lord is perfect. It is complete. It's whole. It is finished. That is the truth about what God has to say about the Bible. It is perfect. We do not have to worry about the Dead Sea Scrolls. We don't have to worry about any other lost book that some archaeologist somewhere dug up that God somehow let slip through his fingers when he was giving us the Bible. We don't have to worry about that. We got everything that God wants us to have right here today. His word is perfect. A lot of saved people would do themselves a great service if they turn off the History Channel and the National Geographic Channel. I'm amazed at all the stuff that they're putting on those channels now about the Bible. And these Christians sitting there and they look at that stuff like, oh, wow, that's just absolutely amazing. Yeah, it's all a big fat lie is what it is. I'll say that again. It's a big fat lie. That's what it is. But because people don't have enough sense to get in out of the rain, they'll believe what those people say on those television programs, and they'll walk around thinking, wow, there's other books out there of the Bible that somehow God didn't get into the Scripture, and hopefully we'll one day find all of those. Listen, if you got a King James Bible, you got everything God wants you to have. His word is perfect. It's complete. We have the 66 books of the Bible that God wants us to have. You need not look any further. I tell you what we need to do, instead of wasting our time looking for a bunch of lost books, we need to start reading the ones we already have. Just start reading those 66 books and we'd be a lot better off. But not only when he says it's perfect does he mean that it's complete, but he means perfect in the sense that it's without error. It's without error. In James chapter 1 and verse number 25, it is called the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. That's what God's word is. It's a law of liberty. The Bible doesn't put you in bondage. The Bible, the truth of the Bible, is what sets you free. It's what gives you liberty in your life. And it's called the perfect law of liberty. It is the inerrant word of God. There is no error contained in the Scripture, contrary to what a lot of people try to say. So it's perfect. But notice what it does here, verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. The idea is that it brings salvation to somebody who's lost. Converting the soul. How does a lost person get saved? How does a lost person come to the knowledge of the truth? How do they recognize, number one, that they are lost? You understand that before somebody can get saved, they got to realize they're lost. They got to understand that. How do they get to the point in their life where they understand they're a sinner? They're lost. They're guilty before God. And they're under the wrath and condemnation of God. How do they get to that place in their life? How do they get to the point where they understand that there is someone who has paid for their sin completely, and if they'll trust Him, put their faith in Him and what He did, that they'll be saved by the grace of God? How do they get to that place? How does all of that take place? And how does a person become a child of God? Well, according to what David says, it's through the word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Listen to what Peter says in the New Testament. He says, being born again, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Isn't that what he's saying? That's what he said. He said it's by the word of God that a person is born again. James tells us that of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. Doesn't the Bible say that faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God? That's in Romans chapter 10, by the way, and the whole context of Romans chapter 10 is salvation. That's the whole context of that chapter, people getting saved. And the faith that he's talking about is faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. How does a person get that? According to Romans chapter 10. Faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what the Bible will do for somebody that's lost? The Bible will bring them to salvation. That's what it'll do. This is one reason, as we talked this morning in Sunday school, that you and I need to be so careful and so conscious of the fact that we are to give out what God has to say. You know what's going to bring that lost person that you work with to Jesus Christ? You know what's going to bring that lost family member that you have to Jesus Christ? You know what's going to bring that total stranger that you talk to somewhere someday to Jesus Christ? To get them to that point where they'll receive Him, to where they have the faith they need to believe on Him. You know what's going to do that? It's going to be the word of God. That's what's going to happen. What's going to be. Listen, there's no such thing as anybody getting saved without at some point coming in contact with the word of God. There's no such thing as that. Now, a person may not have been standing there holding a Bible when they led you to Jesus Christ, but I'm telling you, if you're saved this morning, that person that led you to Jesus Christ, or somebody somewhere along the line, a grandmother, a grandfather, a mom, a dad, a friend, whatever, somebody gave you some Bible. Somebody told you what the Bible says, or you have not got saved. You don't get saved apart from coming in contact with what God has to say. Have to. So number one is perfect. It converts the soul. But notice verse number 7. Second thing that David says here about the word of the Lord. He says the testimony of the Lord. And that's what we have in the scripture. We have his testimony, what he says. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. First of all, he tells us what it is. It's perfect. It's sure. Sure means to be firmly established or steadfast. One thing that I love about the Bible is that it's constant. It's a sure foundation. It's not changing with the times. Now, here's the world we live in. People want to change the Bible so that it'll be in line with the way people think nowadays. They want to change the Bible so it'll be more in line with how people feel about things. Because after all, we're progressing as human beings, aren't we? We're progressing along. We're getting smarter and we're getting to be better than we've ever been before. So we need a Bible that's not old and outdated. We need one that's in line with how we think in this modern day. And You know what you got out there today? You got a lot of Bibles that's been changed and updated so that they're more in line with the way a bunch of perverts want to live. Did I say that? Yeah, I did say that. That's right. Thing I love about the Bible is every day when I get up and I open it, it's the same as it was yesterday. Whatever it said yesterday, it says right now. And whatever it says right now, it's going to say tomorrow. Whether people like it or not, whether they agree with it or not, that's the wonderful thing about God. He wrote the Bible and he didn't mean ask our opinion as to what he was to put in there, did he? And here's another thing, and I know this is hard for people to get their head around. He really doesn't care if you agree with him or not. He really doesn't care if you approve with what he said or how he feels about things. Now, he wants you to believe what he said, but if you choose to not believe him, that's no sweat off God's back. He said what he said, and it is forever settled in heaven, the Bible says. He's not going to change his word for you or me or anyone. This Bible is a sure foundation that has been established forever and ever. Notice what else he says. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Do you need some wisdom this morning? The Bible says if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. And upbraideth not. If you lack wisdom, and I'm not talking about the wisdom of the world, according to Scripture, there is a big difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. And if you lack the wisdom of God, then the Bible says to ask of the Lord, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He wants to give you his wisdom. That's what God desires to do. He wants you to be on the same page with him. He wants you to have the wisdom that he is willing to give. But how do you get it? Listen to this scripture. Proverbs chapter 2 verse number 6 says, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. You know how you get the wisdom of God? How do you get it? From what he said. Amen. That's how you get the wisdom of God. So if you lack wisdom this morning, then you ask of God, and then you do what God has told you to do, and he'll give you that wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He gives it out of his mouth. You open his Bible, you read what he has to say, and you know what he does? In a supernatural way, he imparts his wisdom to you. That's what he does through the Bible. Now look at verse number 8. Here's another thing David says. He says in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. They're right. That's what they are. That's what it is. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's what it does. The statutes of the Lord are right. Y'all agree with that? Do you believe that everything God says in his Bible about any subject, no matter what it is right? That's what he says right here. He says the statutes of the Lord are right. Now, look at Psalm 119 with me for just a moment. And I want to show you something here. Psalm 119. Psalm 119, as most of you know, is the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And you know what it's about? In its entirety, from verse 1 to the very last verse, you know what the whole chapter is about? The Word of God. So the longest, God decided that the longest chapter in the book he wrote would be about what he said. Psalm 119. Look at verse number 128. 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. He says, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. So God's right about everything. Amen. Is he right about creation or educated people who believe in evolution right? I mean, the Bible says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Isn't that what it says? Well, either he's right and they're wrong, or they're right and he's wrong. Who you going to go with today? I'm going to go with the Lord. He's right. He's right about creation. He's right about salvation. He's right about how a person gets saved. People can say that it's this and this, but God says this is how a man gets saved. And God is right, and everybody that doesn't agree with that is wrong. Every person. God is right about how a person is to live their life. Is God right this morning about homosexuality? Is he right about that? Or is everybody in this world today, well, not everybody, but the majority of the people in this world today who say that that type of lifestyle is okay and we ought to accept that and we ought to bring it in and embrace it, are they right or is God right? Because God said that it's an abomination. Isn't that what God's saying? I mean, we're just talking about whether God's right or not. And he's right according to the scripture. He's right. Everything that he says right here is right. And anything and anybody that doesn't agree with him is wrong. Y'all understand that? It's not a matter of opinion. And I know that's narrow-minded and dogmatic and all that, but I'm just going to go with God. Every single time, on every single subject, no matter what it is, God is right all the time. And any time that you begin to deviate from that line of thought, I'm telling you what you're doing, you're opening yourself up for a world of deception. You're opening yourself up for a world of hurt, friend, when you begin to think that on any subject whatsoever, God isn't 100% right. He's right in everything. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. That's what they do. You need some more joy in your heart this morning? An old song, we got the joy, joy, joy down in our heart. How many of you got some joy, joy, joy down in your heart this morning? You know something, I really, if we're all honest, I believe we could all stand a little more joy, amen? We could all stand a little more. We probably are not near as joyous as we need to be, especially when it comes to the things of God. And how do you get that joy in your heart? Well, according to what David says, you can get some joy from what God has to say. The Bible says that his statutes are right, rejoicing the heart. Jesus said, John 15:11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He said, these things have I spoken unto you, that I might give you joy and my joy might remain in you. How does a person get joy that they need? Let me say this to you, folks. I believe that the majority of the problems that we have in our lives as Christians, areas where we're not where we need to be or don't have what we need to have, the majority of those are the direct result of us as individuals not spending time in God's Word like we need to. The majority, anyway, of those problems. You can trace it back. When you find Christians that are lacking in peace, lacking in joy, lacking in victory, lacking in a whole lot of things that we need, that we should have, I'm telling you, you can trace it back the fact that we do not spend the time in God's Word that we need to spend in His Word. If we spent more time, how about this for an idea? The level of joy in your life will be determined by the amount of time that you spend in God's Word. Do you understand that? So if you want just a little joy, just spend a little time in the Bible. And that's where most Christians are at, just a little time. You want more joy? Spend more time in the Bible. You want a whole lot of joy? How many of you want a whole lot of joy? Really? Do you really want some joy this morning? The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. Isn't that what it says? Do you really want some joy to where you have real joy in your life? Well, how about spending more time in the Bible? This is the thing I find. And I'm not trying to be mean to anybody. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I find that a lot of people who say they want something don't really want it as bad as they say they do. Because they say, well, I want this and I want that. And then you make a suggestion, well, why don't you do this and you'll have more of it. And then they don't do it. If you really want more joy, you'll start doing some things to have more joy. One of those things would be spending more time in the Bible. I can tell you this, that as long as you sit there and watch that thing in your living room, hour after hour, and all you do is read your Bible about 5 minutes a day, you never gonna have much joy. Do you understand that? People don't like it when you call it straight like that, but that's just how it is. They think they can spend hours and hours and hours every day on a computer and 5 minutes a day in their Bible. Spend hours and hours and hours a day on a phone, 5 minutes a day on the Bible. And then they wonder why they don't have more joy in their life. Let me tell you something. Your joy, the level of joy in your life, is dependent upon the amount of time you spend in what God has to say. And if you'll start turning some of that stuff off and spending more time, I guarantee, I give you my word this morning, the more time you begin to spend in that Bible, you'll see the level of joy increase in your life. It rejoices the heart. Let's move on. Verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. It's pure. Nothing defiling about the word of God. The Bible says, Psalm 119, 140, that his words are very pure. Psalm 12:6 says the words of the Lord are pure words. When I read the Bible, I don't have to have my remote handy. Y'all follow what I'm saying? You sit down and watch television, you better have your remote handy. Because it ain't going to be but about 5 seconds and something filthy and defiling is going to come up there. Y'all can look down at the floor all day, but I'm going to tell it like it is. I'm telling you right now, you better have that remote handy, because there's a bunch of junk on there that will defile you and defile your children. But you know what? I never have to have my remote handy when I read the Bible. It's pure. It's pure as the driven snow. Nothing in there that will defile me. I don't have to worry about it. Here's a great thing. You know, nowadays, anything that you want to let your children do, you got to be really careful about that, right? I mean, if it's something as simple as saying go in there and turn on the Cartoon Network and sit down and watch that, you better watch that, friend. You have to be careful. But you know what? I don't ever have to worry about. I can say, Matthew, go in there and sit down at the dining room table and read your Bible. And I don't ever have to worry about my son walking away defiled. I don't ever have to worry about something nasty being put in his mind. Thank God for that. There's a place of purity. It's hard to find purity in this world, but there is. Y'all listen to me. There is still a place you can go and find absolute purity. That's in what God has to say. It's pure. Won't defile you. It enlightens the eyes, it says. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It opens our eyes. The entrance of thy word giveth light, the Bible says. You know why some people are blind as a bat backing in backwards? You know why? Why they walk around in darkness? Why they're clueless about how things really are? Because they don't know what God says. You put that Bible in, the entrance of thy words giveth light, enlightening the eyes. You take your eyes, those two things right up here that God gave you, and you read through the pages of this Bible, and you will be absolutely amazed at how you begin to see things. You'll see things like you never saw them before. God will turn the light on more and more as you read, to where you begin to see things and to see people the way God sees them. And that's what's important. Now look at verse 9. We've got to move on. The fear of the Lord is clean. This is a reference again to the Bible. It's called the fear of the Lord because it tells us about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's clean. Enduring forever. It's clean. It's not dirty. It's clean. So much nastiness. So much filth. Isn't it good that you can go somewhere and find something clean. I'm a little bit of a stickler about that. I don't like certain things to be dirty. I like things to be clean. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else in here like that? Now, I don't mind getting out and working and sweating and getting nasty, but when it's all said and done, I like to get clean. I like to be able to come into a home and turn on some water and get some soap and take a bath and clean myself up. That's the way it is. When I drink out of a glass, I don't want it dirty. I want it clean. When I eat off of a plate, I want it clean. I want my clothes clean. Anybody else feeling what I'm saying here? I like things to be clean. I tell you what God wants. God wants me and you to be clean. God's able to clean us up. He's able to clean up our mind. He's able to clean up our mouth. He's able to clean up our morals, our motives. He's able to clean us up. And he can clean us up through his word that is clean. Jesus said this. He said to his disciples, "Now are you clean through the word I have spoken?" You're clean. Listen, you cannot clean up something that's dirty with something that's dirty. You hear what I'm saying? If you got a dirty counter and you're going to clean that counter, you can't get a rag that's filled with dirt and grease and all sorts of other stuff and wipe that thing off and make it clean. All you're doing is making what's dirty even more dirty. To clean up something that's nasty, you got to do it with something that's clean, right? You don't want to clean up your nasty mind. A clean Bible. Clean up your nasty mind. You know what to clean up your nasty mouth? Make you talk different? So Christians don't talk ugly. Who are you kidding this morning? Do you know what to clean up your nasty mouth? A clean Bible to clean up your nasty mouth. You know what to clean up your nasty morals? A clean Bible to clean up your nasty morals. And that's what it says, isn't it? The fear of the Lord is clean. You take that thing that's clean, this book here that's clean, that's pure, and you just run it over you, just like you get in that shower and you turn that water on and let it come down over you. You just run this Bible over you day in and day out and day in and day out, and I'm telling you, it will clean up your life. That's what it'll do. This is what the Bible says, Psalm 119. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." And look at what he says, enduring forever. How long is the Bible going to be around, by the way? Forever and ever. It liveth and abideth forever. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away." Did y'all realize that one day this thing we're living on right here is not going to exist? Heaven and earth shall pass away. And everything down here is going to get just burnt to oblivion. Gone. Not be here. But when all of it's burnt up, it's just ashes. Ashes. Nothing left. Every single thing. You know what will still be there? The word of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Here's the last thing, and we'll be done. Verse number 9. "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." True and righteous. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Every single thing in the Bible is true. When you talk to people now, isn't it getting increasingly difficult to be able to trust what somebody says? I hear people talk, and I've heard some of you say these very things before about how years ago, back maybe before I was born, when I was a little kid or whatever, that you could walk into a bank and you could get a loan just on a handshake and your word. Just say, "I need this." They give it to you and you shake a man's hand and say, "I'll pay you that money back." Try doing that now. I went to the doctor this past week. Some of y'all know I've been going to see a chiropractor. And when I was talking to the lady about making my payments and so forth, she said, "We can take your credit card and we can just put it on that when it comes time to pay it. I said, would it be all right if I just stopped by here and paid you in cash money? She said, well, we used to do that, but we've been burnt so many times we can't do it anymore. Isn't that pitiful? Isn't it pitiful that the world we live in now, you can't hardly trust anybody. You can't even hardly trust preachers anymore. That doctor doesn't want me drinking any caffeine before I come. I walked in the other morning. I said, Doc, I've had two entire things of coffee. Before. I was lying to him. I was just kidding around with him. I said, I drunk two pots of coffee before I got here. He said, preachers are the worst liars. He had told me the previous visit he did some preaching. I said, didn't you tell me you did some preaching? See, I said, you a liar too then. We're just kidding with one another, you understand. But I'm telling you where we are. You just can't hardly trust anybody. People will stand and look you right in the eyes, know they are lying, and tell you a bald-faced lie. I tell you, somebody that will never do that to you. You want some honesty? You want some truth? Somebody that will tell you the truth 100% of the time? Listen to me. Even when you don't like it, you know who will do that for you? God to do that for you. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for what it does in our lives. And Lord, if there is somebody here today that's lost, I pray that through your word they'd understand that their only hope of heaven is Jesus Christ, and without him they'll die and go to hell. Lord, help us Christians to spend more time in your word. I believe with all my heart that many of our problems would get better if we just start spending more time in your word. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.